Hello, everybody out there. Here's Guillermo and I'm Carla.
This is our new podcast where you'll meet the Trickshot mindset from the inside visionaries.
Buckle up and enjoy. Episode 5, First Feature Film.
Hello, guys, and welcome. So hopefully by now you guys have done a couple of short films, have worked as a crew member for different documentaries, commercials, gigs and whatnot, to be able to finally afford what you always wanted to, make your first feature film. There is a couple of things that you guys should know before you dive into this wonderland of making films. Unless your uncle is best buddy with the Warner president or you have a ton of money, you will probably end up self-financing your first film. So probably you are wondering if it's the right moment, if you have enough connections and if you have enough money. In our experience, we can tell you that there is no such a thing as the perfect moment. It's very unlikely like a Netflix executive is going to knock your door and say, hey, I believe in you. I never read anything of you or I haven't ever seen anything that you've done, but I want you to direct a film.
That's definitely very unrealistic.
However, it is possible to make your first film if you have saved up enough money and make enough connections and if you truly believe in the story, which brings me to the next point, which is the writing process. I think in my experience, I've seen a lot of colleagues that they try to like write this deep drama or thriller where it seems like a person who is 50 years old will try to write that, but they are in their 20s. Mm-hmm. So that's why when I was trying to brainstorm for my own scripts, I learned by, I don't remember his name.
The writer of 500 Days of Summer is Scott Neustadter.
Who mentions one of my favorite lines, which is write about what you know. Because if you write about what you don't know, it's not going to feel sincere. And if people don't connect with what you're trying to say, then, you know, you're not making the right movie.
It's not relatable. Because it's not relatable, it's very hard for people to connect to the movie and connect to the characters, which is very important in screenwriting.
And that applies even if you're doing fantasy or sci-fi. So obviously, listen, you already came up with your awesome idea. You have your 90 pages and you're ready to go. Now it's a matter of what's your budget. Then everything narrows down to that. And doing a little bit of research in the indie business, there is three type of budgets, more or less, for how much you count. One is $10,000, $100,000, and $1,000,000. I know $1,000,000 and 100K sounds like a lot of money, but in reality, that's still very, very, very indie for standards. So when you have like $10,000, you are in the position where, as I was after graduating from film school and I thought I was going to make my first feature by then because I had like that much money saved up. What you would probably have to do is like start contacting the people that you have worked in the past for, especially if you work for them for free. So they owe you one.
That's a big thing in the film business right now.
Yeah, the whole collaboration. Even though we have said that, you know, don't work for free. But when it is down to stuff that people actually want to do, whether it's a DP friend of yours and wants something actually cool and creative to have for the reel, or a person who wants the experience because she thinks that if she can pull that off, then she's going to be able to like handle bigger sheds, then, you know. But it comes down to probably you're not going to be able to hire actors. You're going to probably have to use your neighbors and your friends and your family. You are not going to be able to just pay people at all. No, not even like their minimum rate. You're going to have to like beg your crew and they use their own equipment, and you're going to have to use the location that you have.
So as a producer of mostly indie type projects, the most important thing is that when you have a script and you have an idea that you believe in and you have at least one or two people who are behind you and who are willing to work with you, if you can sell the idea, if you can make people believe in the idea, believe that this will go far, at least in festivals, or this will be good for their reel, or you can exchange favors, you help me out this time, I'll help you out next time, then it works out. Sometimes you can even tell somebody that, okay, we can do this, and then it'll turn into a paying gig after I see how you've worked, you know. And that's something that has been used and sometimes has been used in a bad way, because then they don't really work out or nothing comes out of it. But it's very important because that is how you get a lot of people, at least in the indie, to work with you. One of the routes that I gone through was to work with students, people who don't have a reel, people who are just starting out. But working with students is a really good thing because they can add stuff to their resume. They can get credits for school. They can learn how the film business is. A lot of it is learning and being trained to do it the way that it's meant to be done. Learning lingo, practical stuff, and then also not just putting stuff in their reel, but it gets them connections, networking. And because they're still in school, equipment, because all the schools that have anything to do with film have the kind of equipment that we could use for making indie films. Not just equipment, but also locations, other actors, because film students tend to have access to the theater department, who has plenty of actors, and some of them do want to do stuff on screen.
You can enhance the idea for people to believe in the project by providing the beautiful and prestige IMDb credit, which is basically alongside with your demo reel, what it presents you in front of people to see if you've done anything. So yeah, if you have $10,000 budget film, then you know who gets hooked up by somebody from the film school. If you're wearing one or you know somebody who's wearing one, just go to the Facebook groups, because that's the only way you're going to be able to make it. It's not going to be very good. Forget about like chasing scenes or blowing shit up. But you probably will get something out of it. At least a foot on the door or something.
It doesn't have to be an elaborate thing. It could be super simple, but super powerful. There have been films that we have seen just to study the whole process of screenwriting and figuring out how to have the research.
Like, I'm sure like a movie like Reservoir Dogs could be made nowadays with $10,000 without Harvey Keitel or Steve Buscemi, but you know.
And even now we're working on getting an actress for a feature, and that's $10,000 right there. So maybe just the right actor or actress is enough to get people to work for free, just because they want to have that association in their resume, that credit.
Then if you're lucky and you have worked your ass off for, let's say, 5 years as a PA, making $250 a day and, you know, making everybody else's dream come true, then you might have $100K. Or if you do like a crowdfunding with $100K, you have more leverage there, where you can do more stuff, and then maybe you can pay people. You're not going to be able to pay them full rate, but you know, you can extend your shooting time from 1 week max with the 10K to maybe 2 weeks. And you can rent out some stuff that you actually need for like exterior night shoots, or if you want to do something with like water, or if you just want to like get that sweet FX6 Sony to get that cinema look, because with 10K you're doing DSLR, brother. Like, that's what you're doing.
One of the things I really recommend is that you should always be around other creatives. Be in a space where you can see that other people and what their ambitions are and what they really want to do with their time, what their passion is, because then you can figure out how that connects. As a producer, it's one of the things I did. I would connect people who wanted to do very specific things. We've had clothing designers next to us. We've had editors and people who have top-end equipment that if we get them to really believe in it, we've even had someone with a red camera said, look, if you have something that's really great and I can like get behind that, I would totally lend you the camera for free. So we've been able to just be around creatives to get that kind of thing. Obviously, the point is not to get things for free or get people to work for free. The point is to have that be a stepping stone to go where you really want to go.
Then with $1 million, well, that things change. Then that's still pretty low for the standards, but one thing I was checking out doing the research was that low budget film in New York could be made with like out of 50 or 60K. While if you're in LA, 1 million is like the minimum that you need, because surprisingly enough, even though it's the capital of the cinema and stuff, it's very expensive to produce anything there. It's very expensive and very heavy in paperwork to like get any permits, and everybody thinks they're huge. But with 1 million, you can pay people's rate, you can shoot for a 30-day shoot, and you know, you can make something really cool. There is movies like such as Reservoir Dogs, Once, a lot of horror films also made with 1 million. Halloween was made with like less than $1 million.
Blair Witch Project?
That was made with nothing. They literally spent all their money on like marketing.
Marketing. That's what made it happen.
It wasn't even a thing yet, because that was like at the end of the 90s. Paranormal Activity. They didn't have 1 million. They had like 100K or something. And it's been the biggest grossing film with the lowest budget in history. And that's kind of like in the situation where we are right now, where like 5 weeks ago, we were just trying to, as most of us, paying the bills and, you know, just making commercials and content creation.
Favorite words.
It pays. Sometimes it pays very well. Little work, but you know. And then we got a call. And then probably Carla will explain it better than I do.
Yeah. So I keep up with basically everybody I can when it comes to the film connections, especially the actors. And Julian was a good friend of mine that was a co-actor in a short film that we both really believed in, and we both didn't get paid to do it. We just wanted to be there, loved the story, made the connection. So he's very well connected, and he told us about Spike Lee and all of that stuff, Hawaiian. And he told us about how he's continuously doing acting, continuously going to festivals, and he was invited to Cannes. And I told him that we were planning on going to California. And then he started talking about how he has somebody who he wants us to meet, which is a producer who's very well connected, who can probably get us the funding that we need. And that's one of the main things, sponsorship. If you can't pay for it yourself, you can find somebody who will be willing to either buy your script or work with you to make it or get people connected. Once you get the most connections, whether it's a letter of intent from an actor or a letter of intent from another producer or co-writer or anything, once you can attach those names, then the script becomes that much more doable, that much more fundable.
One important thing now is that at that time, and I would probably deny this in the future, when Julian asked us if we had any future film script working on or in the works, we were about to be honest and say we just have like 10 different short films because we didn't have in our plans to make the future yet. And I stopped Carla and myself and I told him yes. Yes, I have like a very good one working up. I don't want to tell you about it yet. Give me a couple of days. I had nothing. We literally had nothing. We hadn't like working any creative thing for like the last 6 months and we had no clue what we're going to write about. So then the first 2 days were basically just watching a bunch of movies and trying to come out with something and speak to us. At first, we, based on what Julian wanted to do about like a family man and stuff, because this is a big guy. This is a big African-American guy who it looks very strong.
Julian has the look of a protagonist. He does not have the look of someone who is like on the sidelines, a supporting character. He mostly gets casted for, you know, I don't know, being the guy who beats somebody up. Or I don't know, I guess the thug or the basketball player or whatever, because he's really tall, muscular, has 2 kids, I think he said, and lots of tattoos, neck tattoos. So like you can imagine writing a person like that into a winery.
Which was our first idea because he wanted to do like a family film where he would show his depth as a character and internal struggle and, you know, he being against the destiny. So we watched A Good Year by Ridley Scott and yeah, we liked the film. But then, you know, we started to mix stuff with what he wanted to do about like, what if he's an ex-boxer from Detroit and all the stuff. And then Carla and I, we tried to write it. He loved the idea. But then, you know, we just look at each other and it's like, okay, well, you are not black. I'm not black. We are not Italians. We don't know shit about winery. I mean, I like to drink wine, but that's pretty much it.
Yeah, there was too much of you, what you don't know.
What you don't know, and it really wasn't like our cup of tea.
Which is not that bad, as long as you have the time to do the research, which we did not have the time to do the research.
Basically, from the moment that he called us till now, we're still having like another less than 3 weeks to go. But, you know, it's really hard to come up with a script and a business plan and an elevator pitch and all that stuff in pretty much 6 weeks.
Yeah.
So we just say, you know what? Fuck this. And I remember like on the way home from day two of our journey where Carla was dropping me off and she was feeling very frustrated and mad. And I was like, what's going on? We have kind of like story here, you know? And she's like, what's going on with you? And I said, what do you mean? You're a great screenwriter. Why can't you come up with something good?
He'll never forget it now.
No, I will never forget it. And I'm like, well, it's been 48 hours. I don't know. Like, I don't know. This is the toughest part for me to create anything out of like paper. So I say, okay, let's step back. So we took like, I think it was like a day off or we just work on the other stuff from the business. And then I told her, you know what? I think that I was doing some research through YouTube and I found the genre and I feel like we wanted, because Carla and I were like big fans of like Pan's Labyrinth and Labyrinth and
Big
Narnia
Fish
and Big Fish and all that stuff. But they are fantasy films where there is required a lot of VFX and stuff. And so we were like, okay, so we want to do something like magical because it's kind of like our archetype of people and as a company.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't do that with like, because Julian was clear. Julian was like, listen, if we're able to get this, the max that we're going to be able to get is like 1 million. And then maybe a little bit more from other investors, but that's it. And all of those films are made with not under $10 million. Like there is no way. So, and then I found myself with this genre that I've seen movies before, but I never like really put a pin on it or like a label, which is magical realism. And it's basically like a drama or like something real from real life, but then you add like magical and like really out there aspects to it to enhance this story in a really weird way. So we were trying to watch movies for that, and then we stopped ourselves, which is, has been, I think, so far from the movies and we have research, because you guys need to do that. Like, if you guys gonna make a movie, you gotta like do research on other movies, which is, you know, just watch movies and make notes, which I think we all love to do. And we found ourselves with being John Malkovich, 1999, by Spike Jonze, John Cusack, John Malkovich, Cameron Diaz. And we love that film. Pretty much it's a film, to put it in a nutshell, about a group of people who found a tunnel to become John Malkovich for 50 minutes. And they just get obsessed by being somebody else for 50 minutes and feel and see and hear what he's saying and feeling. So we say, okay, this is kind of cool. And then I remember, okay, we were like, okay, we know what we want to do, like at least the direction. So remember, Giancarlo had to take care of other things, and we took AKA the day off, and I was just watching movies. I also watched the Dutch movie Melancholia, but didn't really do much for me. The British film Cashback, really good film, underrated. And then I just started typing stuff in the notes, and I came out with this idea of a guy who his girlfriend is yelling at him, and he just had a concussion because he got hit over a car, and he get up from the hospital and he rearranged all his furniture and pushed it to one side of his apartment, and then make a hole in the roof and set a tent there and look at the stars. That was pretty much what I came up with. I thought it was a stupid idea. I showed it to Carla the next day and she really, really, really liked it. And so we just went from there. And, you know, right now we're like in the first draft, working on the second draft. It's like a miracle to do it, you know, in only like 3-4 weeks with our friend and co-writer Morgan Halla. And yeah, so, you know, everybody has their own journey. So if you have the time, actually spend time just writing the thing before you even start doing anything else, and make it doable. Like, don't put like blow up 5 buildings like in Fight Club. But, you know, we'll have the meeting in a few weeks. We don't know what's going to happen. I guess we'll tell you guys whenever we get a chance to record another podcast. So obviously you guys got to keep in mind that making a feature is very different for a short film. It's like if you take your 20 so-so good, shitty, and then you hate short films into one pile and you make it sense. In film school, they tell you that it's even tougher to make a short film because you have such a short amount of time to get people attention. But in reality, I found very through this process that we've been going through, very hard to keep people engaged during 1.5 hours. Because, you know, with the whole Instagram mini series music, it's very hard to people to just be patient and watch everything. So you like unveil things like peeling an onion, but, you know, it's not like you can't give everything away, because then what should I keep watching? And then you can't drag it too long, because then like, what is this going on? And then you just change the to another thing.
Another difference between shorts and versus feature is that, you know, for a short you have to maybe feed some people, you could probably get away with just that, but when it's a feature you have to be able to feed them for at least 30 days to 45 days, right?
On your story, you can even shoot in one day more than one scene, which would save all time and money.
So in terms of distribution, there's all these different contracts. This is all part of post-production. This is after we get the producer to approve it, we get actors, we get all the name people part of it, we get it done, and then afterwards, what do you do with it? You can send it to festival films, you can sign a deal with Netflix or whatever. You got to be able to present it, obviously. Things are easier to sell once they're in the can, which is a technical term that we use.
So one thing is very important is to keep expectations low. Like, you don't, first you got to know that you're going to have to make a commitment of 1 to 2 years just to get this through, from the moment that you start writing, from the moment that you start producing and distributing and everything. And you might not make money out of it, but you'll gain the experience and you'll have a movie under your belt. And as a conclusion, guys, like, you know, this whole indie market is not like a new thing. It started in the 60s with the group of Coppola, Spielberg, Scorsese, and De Palma, where they wanted to break into the industry from the traditional Hollywood system of like just all people just doing, just recycling the same ideas over and over. And they did it, But it's, since it was filmed back in the time, it's still expensive and they were able to, you know, come up with new ideas and get the resources for them in the 90s with Tarantino, Rodriguez and Richard Linklater. They were able to make really low budget films that make an impact and sell it to distribution. And that's how they build a career on. So now we're in the 20s after the pandemics. And I feel like every 30 years there is a new wave where things have changed. So now we have the advantage of digital and it looks as good as film. And we have the advantage of streaming. Before, you will have to go with your movie to physical studios and try to sell it, and they have a really small amount of movies and they could stream through the theaters. And now the opportunities are limitless.
Yes, multiple sources of distribution.
Amazon, Hulu, Netflix, Disney Plus. We find another one we didn't even know existed, Vudu. And I think that pretty soon everybody's just going to make their own thing. Paramount has their own thing too. So just keep pushing and don't try to wait for the right moment to do it. Because the moment is now. If you have enough money, you know, just do it. And even if you don't, just do it. Just do it, just do it, just do it.
Just get people to believe in your idea and they'll be behind you 100% of the way. If they say they support you, let them show you.
Yeah, it's like in the film business. Don't tell, show. This is it for now, guys. We'll let you know what happened in LA.
We hope our tips and tricks have helped you, our little advices, and we'll keep you posted.
For the Tricks and Mindset, see you until next time. Keep dreaming.